Ginger Beans, but I am not vermin. Vermin! Once, we were just another squeaking thing in the forest, and then humans built barns and pantries full of food. Of course, we took what we could, and so they called us vermin, and they have trapped us and covered us in poison, and somehow, out of that wretchedness, you have come. But you are no answer. You are just another bad thing humans made. You offer rats nothing except more pain. You just have a power that lets you enter people's minds when they are tired or stupid or upset, and you are in mine now. Yes. Oh, yes! And still I stand here, said Dangerous Beans. Now that I have smelled you, I know you. You have the smell of the bone rat about you. Even though my body is shaking, I can keep a place free from you. I can feel you running around in my head, you see. But all the doors are closed to you now. I can control the shadows inside, which is where all darkness is. I am more than just a rat. If I am not more than a rat, I am nothing at all. The many heads of Spider turned this way and that. There wasn't much left of Morris's mind to do any thinking now, but it looked as though the Rat King was trying to reach a conclusion. Its reply came in a roar. Then be nothing! Keith blinked. He had his hand on the latch of one of the rat cages. The rats were watching him, all standing the same way, all watching his fingers, hundreds of rats. They looked hungry.
"Did you hear something?" said Melissa.
Keith lowered his hand very carefully and took a couple of steps back.
"Why are we letting these out?"
he said.
"It was like I'd been dreaming."
"I don't know. You're the rat boy."
"But we agreed to let them out."
I had a feeling that
rat kings can talk to people, can't they?"
said Keith.
"Has it been talking to us?"
"But this is real life,"
said Melissa.
"I thought it was an adventure," said Keith.
"Damn, I forgot," said Melissa.
"What are they doing?"
It was almost as if the rats were melting. They were no longer upright, attentive statues. Something like panic was spreading through them again. Then other rats poured out of the walls, running madly across the floor. They were much bigger than the caged ones. One of them bit Keith on the ankle, and he kicked it away.
"Try to stamp on them, but don't lose your balance, whatever you do," he said. "These are not friendly."
"Tread on them?" said Melissa.
"Yuck! You mean you haven't got anything in your bag to fight rats? This is a rat catcher's lair. You've got plenty of stuff for pirates and bandits and robbers."
"Yes, but there's never been a book about having an adventure in a rat catcher's hut," Melissa shouted.
"Ow! One's on my neck! One's on my neck! And there's another one!"
She bent down frantically to shake the rats loose and reared up as one leapt at her face. Keith grabbed her hand.
"Don't fall over. They'll go mad if you do. Try to get to the door."
"They're so fast," Melissa panted. "Now, there's another one on my hair."
"Hold still, stupid female," said a voice in her ear. "Hold quite still, or I'll gnaw you." There was a scrabble of claws, a swish, and a rat dropped past her eyes. Then another rat thumped onto her shoulder and slid away.
"Right," said the voice at the back of her neck. "Now don't move, don't tread on anyone, and keep out of the way."
"What was that?" she hissed, as she felt something slide down her skirt.
"I think it was the one they call Big Savings," said Keith. "Here comes the clan."
More rats were pouring into the room, but these moved differently. They stayed together and spread out into a line that moved forward slowly. When an enemy rat attacked it, the line would close up over it quickly like a fist, and when it opened again, the rat was dead. Only when the surviving rats smelled the terror of their fellows and tried to escape from the room did the attacking line break, becoming pairs of rats that, with terrible purpose, hunted down one scurrying enemy after another and brought them down with a bite. And then, seconds after it started, the war was over. The squeaking of a few lucky refugees faded in the walls. There was a ragged cheer from the clan rats, the cheer which says, "I'm still alive, after all that."
"Dark Tan," said Keith, "what happened to you?"
Dark Tan reared up and pointed a paw to the door at the other end of the cellar.
"If you want to help, open that door," he shouted. "Move it."
Then he darted into a drain with the rest of the squad pouring in after him. One of them tap danced as he went. Chapter 11. And there he found Mr. Bunsey, tangled in the brambles and his blue coat all torn.
from Mr. Bunsey Has an Adventure.